Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Zayin. We begin five lines off the top of the Amud. In the Mishnah we learned this rule, Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shaban HaAsay, B'noisin Tam, that's Aser. So, let's say forbidden wine lands onto grapes which have been cracked and open, so the wine gets in there, and there's enough wine to give a tam, to transfer a flavor, and it has to be a positive flavor, something which actually improves the taste of that item on the receiving end, then it is asr, on account of the tam, which came from the isr. But if there isn't enough to give a tam, or, as the Mishnah concludes, if it's a deficient flavor, so the end result is that the product has been ruined, now tastes stale, sour, spoiled. So now we don't reckon with the tam coming from the isser. The isser is only a problem if it imparts a positive flavor, if it improves, if it enhances the food. But otherwise, if it's a nation tam, lifgam, poigim, right? It ruins, it spoils, it makes it deficient. Then it hasn't really contributed anything positively. We don't reckon with it. It's just bottle. And there's to give an example of chaimetz, wine vinegar, which was usher, came from yayin esach, that landed onto the grease and onto these split beans. It has a detrimental effect on it. It spoils it. It doesn't go together. It clashes with the beans. That's an example of noisin tam lifgam. It adds a deficient element to the dish, in which case it's mutter. Amar b'damar shmul hachi ilchasa. That's how we conclude. That's the psak halacha. That if it's noisin tam lifgam, it's mutter. Okay, so now back to this example of the chaimitz on the greisen, the vinegar, mixing into the beans. When do we say it has a deficient effect, it has a negative result? If these greisen were boiling, were hot, as the thing fell in, at that point, it creates a clash, maybe the heat with the acid, something doesn't work, and it doesn't taste well. But suppose the vinegar splashed into the cool, you know, room temperature beans. And at that point, says Rashi, it actually improves the taste. It just happens to be that when they're unheated, they can benefit from some added vinegar. So since at the moment of contact, when they got mixed, it actually enhanced the flavor. So although he went around, he came back and he cooked it up, and he cooked up the beans with the vinegar within them, and now it actually serves to his detriment. We don't care that ultimately it resulted in a deficient product, because when it got mixed in, it was positive. It was contributing. It enhanced. It improved. And therefore, it becomes usr at that point. And even though he went and cooked it up, it stays usr. V'chein ki usr Ravin. Likewise, when Ravin came, he said the same halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Amar Rabba, Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yechanan, Lishon. When do we say it's okay? If the vinegar landed into grease while they were cooking and hot, Reuschen, Aval Nafal. L'teich grease and tzenin, but if they were cool at the time, V'ertichan, and then he boiled it up, nasa kimi shishbiach, ulusay pogam va'asr, since initially it improved it, even though later it took a turn for the worse, it remains asr. V'chein chasr of dimi, v'chulu, and there's a girsa that goes through the v'chulu, that Rav Dimi actually also quoted Rabbi Yechanan to the same effect, that leishon, I'll just read from the Hagoyis on the side, Amar v'yechan leishon, ola shanofel techrisen reishchen, it's only okay if it fell into hot beans, aval nafal techrisen tzeninim, if they were cool at the time, even though he boiled them up afterwards, too late. Nasa kemish yishbech, ubasayif poigim ba'asr. V'chach, in fact, this is the recipe that they would actually make in Yerushalayim, in Tzipori, v'kach ha'yoisin b'arav Shabbos, on the Erev Shabbos, in the town of Tzipori. They would mix a little vinegar into the grease while they were tzoinin, while they were cool, and it was a great dish. They would eat it. V'kern oisam shachlayim. They would give it a name, shachlayim. Shachlayim is some other plant or something that is eaten, and typically vinegar is mixed into there. So they gave it. They gave this mix the label shachlayim, since it had a similar makeup, similar recipe. Okay, continues the Gemara. Let's define. How do we define noisen tam lefgam? Amar Reish Lakish, noisen tam lefgam sha'amru. When we say that noisen tam lefgam is okay, one must be careful. Lo she'yamru, it can't be a situation where a person can still say, well, one second, you haven't fully prepared the dish, properly. You haven't really, put in enough salt or enough seasoning. That's why this new ingredient is making it taste awful. Meaning, had you finished preparing the dish the way it's supposed to be, following the recipe, with enough seasoning, with enough salt, not too much salt, not too little salt, right? Exactly. Perfect. And then this new element, this forbidden element, would fall into it. It wouldn't ruin the dish. The only reason why it's having a detrimental effect, the only reason why it's imparting a bad flavor, bad taste, is because the dish wasn't yet prepared properly. And therefore it's sort of susceptible to this new ingredient that just fell in, right? So again, if you have a soup into which fell some forbidden material. Soup tastes awful. But you know why? Because it wasn't just prepared properly. If you would have prepared it properly with the proper ingredients, the way it's supposed to be prepared, it would have been the antidote. It would have served as an antidote to this problematic, forbidden ingredient that would have fallen, and actually would have tasted great. The only reason why it's not tasting great is because the soup wasn't prepared properly. And it allows this new ingredient, whatever, let's say the vinegar, to ruin it. So it's certainly ruining it, but had you put in all the ingredients the way you're supposed to, it would have resisted that. It would have been more hardy and resistant to this new ingredient. It would not have had a detrimental result. Says Reish Lakish, that's not called noisen tam lefgam. You can't blame, the vinegar for ruining your soup and say, well, it's a deficient flavor, it's mutter. So if you prepare it properly, with all ingredients necessary to make the soup a properly tasting soup, and then the vinegar falls in, and the vinegar is usher, and the soup tastes awful, that's called noisen tam lefgam. But in this case, there's other reasons why the vinegar is ruining the soup, because it wasn't prepared properly. So Reish Lakish here is actually presenting a chumrah, a stringency. He limits the heter of noisen tam lefgam. Again, Amar Reish Lakish, noisen tam lefgam she'amru. Whenever we speak of noisen tam lefgam becoming mutter, lo she'amru, that's not in a case where you're still saying, well, the pot, the soup is still missing some salt. Yisera melach, too much salt. Chasera tavlan, missing seasoning. Yisera tavlan, too much seasoning. So in this case, since the soup wasn't properly prepared, so although the non-kosher vinegar is ruining its taste, it's not called noisen tam lefgam. Because you can attribute it to the improper seasoning. Elakol she'en chaser klum, rather. Noisen tam lefgam is limited to a dish which isn't missing anything, which is fully prepared properly. not missing anything. The only reason why I'm having a hard time eating the soup is because of this vinegar I fell in. That's called Eisen Tam Levgam. But according to the second version of Rish Lakish, actually, no. It's mutter regardless. Even if theoretically it would have had the proper amount of salt, it would have resisted the awfulness of the vinegar. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, that vinegar now made it taste bad. We could then according to the second version of Rish Lakish, Nesin Tam Levgam She'amru. When we allow Nesin Tam Levgam, it's even in this type of case. Ain't we don't go ahead and say, well, hold it. Let's check if the thing was prepared properly. Well, 1 second, it's missing salt. If it had the right salt, no, you don't say that. Yisera melach has too much salt. Chaser tavan, yisera tavan, it's missing or has too much seasoning. That's not a factor. Ela hashta miha pogma. Now, what does it taste like? Well, the vinegar made it taste very deficient. It's mutter. Amar avom Rav Yechanan. Here come two more halachis in the name of Rav Yechanan regarding a mix between forbidden and permissible. Kol shetama uma mashay. Let's say we have issur material, which is here intangible. So the mamashos, the actual issur, is still here. It wasn't dissolved in the mix. Let's say you have potatoes, right? So a potato which is asr got smashed in with others that are mutter. So it's somewhere in there, right? It didn't dissolve, it didn't disappear. Right? So you have the mamashos and the tam as well, the flavor as well, of the isr potato. Asr v'leikin olav v'zeo kazayis b'chteach li'as pras. So of course the mix, the entire potato mix is asr, and one will get malchus if he eats that entire mix, provided the proportions work. That when he eats this mashed potato mix, when he eats an amount which is called achilas pras, pras means a half of what? Half of that loaf. Which loaf? The loaf of the Erev. We use a loaf that suffices for two meals worth of bread. Rashi says that loaf has shmoina beitzim, 8 egg volumes of material within it, so half that loaf is 4. That's a standard meal. So if within this amount of 4 beitzim you have a kazayis is the minimum amount that one will eat to be liable for forbidden foods and malchus that comes with it. So if he eats a gazayis within the time span of achilas pras, that's like a mealtime experience, right? So if you eat a half a gazayis now, Rashi says, and a half a gazayis tomorrow, although it's asr, one may not even eat a little bit of isr, but for malchus, he's not going to get the malchus penalty. It's not considered one unit of achila if it's spread that far. The kazayis must have been consumed within a meal time, time frame. And a meal is 4 beitzim. Rashi says, the shear of a kazayis b'chtechil aspras is actually halachal mesh mesina. Okay, so it's from halachal mesh mesina that has to be eaten within this time frame. In terms of actual, minutes, some say it will be 2 minutes, some say 4, some say 9. I think the prevailing opinion is, the compromise shita, around 4 minutes. And by the way, this pertains not only to eating forbidden stuff, it pertains to eating matzah, anything mitzvah foods. Also, the kazayis must be eaten within this time span, within this meal time span, to make it into one experience, right? One singular experience, one ma'asa achila, one act of eating. So bottom line is, if you have a kazayis of the forbidden potato mixed into this broader mashed potato system, and you ate And you can reckon that you ate, that the person ate. Four beitzim of the general mix, and within that was to be found the kezayis of Isser. It is considered as though he ate a kezayis of Isser in one experience. It's mitzdarev, it's one ma'asachil, one act of eating, and he gets malchus. What if it's tamei v'loy mamashei, however? Let's say you have an Isser which dissolved. You don't have it anymore. It's not intact, not tangible. A little milk that got mixed into some, absorbed into some meat. Right? So the milk is no longer tangible, but the flavor is. So it's tamei, but not mamashe, not v'loy mamashe. So in this case, again, it's usser. One may not eat it, because there's the tam, and tam of isser is usser as well. But ain like no, there's no malchus in this case. Because it's no longer tangible, it's no longer here. And next, v'im riba tam lav gam mutar. If the forbidden material that got mixed into permissible material was riba tam lav gam, increased the deficient flavor, so it contributed to the deficiency, the foulness of the flavor of the soup, then it's mutter, completely permissible. Right? As we learn, Naisin Tam of Gam is mutter. Now, why do you have to say it this way? Just say Naisin Tam of Gam is mutter. Vim Riba means that it was already partially deficient and this came along and pushed it over the top. Vilema, why can't he just simply say Im Nasan Tam of Gam is mutter? The answer is, he was referring to that halacha of Reish Lakish, that even though it wasn't yet properly prepared, it wasn't properly seasoned, in which case it was already on a left foot, and it wasn't really prepared to sort of resist this foul-tasting contribution of Isser. Nevertheless, we ignore the Isser that fell in, because ultimately the end result is has a bad taste. How come Mashmon, the point of Rabbi Yechon is to teach us the afagav the ikum milach renaisa the pagum baday, even though there are other factors. Milach renaisa the other things, other factors. The pagum baday, which are contributing to the pagam, which are adding deficiency, together baday, together with this forbidden item. So you can attribute it, you can blame it on the other. No, it's mutter. Why? Vilchasokit lishna basa dresh lakish. Because we follow the second version of Reish Lakish, that even this type of mix is called Nois and Tamavka. Amar Rav Kahana. Okay, so Medivrei Kulam Nilmad, based on all these statements from Rabbi Yochanan, etc., we learn that Nois and Tamavka in fact is Mutar. Amle Abaye, Bishlamim Kulu. I understand. If you go back to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Barachana, to Rabbi Dimi, Rabbi Avo, L'chaye, it's true, granted. They all seem to hold Nesan Tam of Gam as Mutter because they're, discussing, different aspects of Nesan Tam of Gam. But in terms of Reish Lakish, where do you see that he holds Nesan Tam of Gam as Mutter? Maybe that's not his personal position. Maybe he's just relating to the position in general, not as a personal position. Elder Reish Lakish, if you take a close look at Reish Lakish's wording, Reish Lakish says like this: Amar Reish Lakish, Nois and Tam Gam She'amru, that was said, that they said. He was referencing a position that was presented elsewhere. Who says that's his own personal position? Elder Reish Lakish Amru Ka'amar. All he was saying is they said, but perhaps Valele Svirele, perhaps he himself wouldn't agree with that. I asked the Gemara, really? There's anybody in the world that doesn't hold of Nois and Tam of Gam as Mutter? Mechlal de Ikel Mad Omar, that Nois and Tam of Gam is really Asur? So even if the vinegar spoils the flavor, kills the taste, it's still Asur? In, yeah, actually, it's a Mechlekes Tanoim. Vatanya, listen to this Braisa. Echad Nois and Tam of Gam. Whether it transfers a bad taste, Ve'echad Nois and Tam of Shvach, whether it contributes positively, Asur. There you go, the Vera Meir. He doesn't differentiate between Fagam and Shvach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. If it's L'Shvach, if it improves on the taste, Asr. Well, the Fagam, but if it ruins the taste, Motor. My time, the Rameh. Why is Rameh not differentiating? The answer is Gamar Megi'uli Eved Kilchav. The pasuk speaks about the kalim that they would take during wartime from Midian. And you have to kasher the pots. You have to, immerse it in hot water to extract the geuli means the, the extractions, the embedded residue that's being spit out of the pots. So that forbidden residue apparently is asur. Why? It's old stale material that's embedded in the walls of those pots. Isn't that a classic? It's not going to help anybody when it falls into your soup, right? And still, Vasrachmon, a Torah forbids and requires kashering. Likewise, in our case, it's no different. Vidach, Reb Shimon disagrees. Who's to say that those pots were permeated with spoiled and stale flavors? No, Asra Torah Gderu Bas Yema. When the Torah forbids using those pots without kashering, it's only a pot that we used on that day. Freshly cooked. Fresh flavors. The Lug of Gamu, it's not deficient or stale flavors. But if it was, it would be mutter. V'iduch, Rameir responds and says, no, k'deir basyoy manami. Even if you're right that it was used that same day, it's still impossible that the flavor wouldn't have some sort of deficiency to it. Rashi Pesachim explains. He says, "Mitama kli nifkema habli." The fact is, residue that's embedded in the wall of a kli inevitably gets spoiled. It doesn't stay fresh. It's affected by the wall material of the kli, whatever it is. So it certainly has an element of pagam to it. And still, you see, it's usher. Likewise, any nice tam of gam is also according to Rav Meir. Okay, so we have Rav Meir's source. Let's shift to Rav Shimon, who says nice tam of gam is mutter. Why, in fact, does he respond this way to Rav Meir? I mean, Rav Meir is saying, look, the pasuk requires kashering, presumably on all pots, not just fresh pots. So why doesn't Rav Shimon go along with that? And that seems to be the simple, assumption that it's all types of cases, not just day old pots. So what's in fact Rav Shimon's source? Where does he get his shita from? The next in Tamil of Gam is Mot. Rav Shimon my timer. The Sanya where Raisa lay seichu kol nevela. La geira shebesharecha. The pasuk says, don't eat a dead animal. Right? Don't eat an animal that died without shechita. Rather, give it to the ger. Ger, of course, is the ger toshav, a guy who's somewhat committed to, Novei Dezara, etc. Right? So you meant to supply him with the nevela. Not worth you much, so give it to him. And the pasuk says, give it to the ger. To tenana v'achala. Let him have it to eat. So the chasam sofer, of course, obviously he's going to eat it. So that's what the Gemara means. The extra word v'achala tells you it has to be suitable for the ger, it has to be edible, it has to be high quality food. Only an avela which is suitable for the ger's consumption. It's edible, it tastes good. Then it has the isra and avela. However, she'en ru'i l'ger, but it's not suitable for the ger. It's spoiled, it's foul tasting, it's stale. Ein ru'i n'avela, it's not called an avela. Now, of course, this must be pointed out, that if it's an actual nevela, it's a piece of meat, getting a bit stale or whatever won't make it mutter. It has to be totally inedible and unfit for human consumption. That's because it's something tangible. But in our case, we're speaking about a tam, just a flavor from a dissolved iser. That's on a much lower level. And therefore, in this case, even if it's a slight deficiency, slightly spoiled, slightly stale, the soup as a whole will not get affected by that contribution. That's Reb Shimon's shita. No, has Rameh respond? When we say that if it's not fit, it's not suitable, it's mutter, that's only because we're talking about a case where it was spoiled to begin with. What does that mean? So Rashi says, the animal which died had been ill. Mukas shchin, it was sick, and it died, so it was never really suitable. From day one, it never became an avela. So its unsuitability for human consumption preempts the Isser from arriving to begin with. But in our case, where the Isser had already been Asr, and now you have the flavor of that Isser, even though it's a weak flavor, it's a deficient flavor. Inasmuch as it still can be eaten, it's still going to be Asr. Reb Shimon says, well, for that you don't need a pasuk. Shrucham yikor l'shrucham yuto. Why would you need, you don't even have a pasuk to tell you that if it was sick and it died, spoiled from day one. You don't need a pasuk. You don't need a pasuk to exempt it. Afra ba'almu, it's like just dirt. Of course it's not going to be asr. So no need for a pasuk for that. Rather, the pasuk is telling you that even something which is actually asr can lose its isr status once it becomes pakul. Okay, we'll continue with Hashem on this topic tomorrow. In a nutshell, Nezen Tam Lefgam, Bemachlegis. Rameir says, Aser, and that's learned from the Geula of the Chacham, those pots, which are presumed to have, you know, some spoiled flavor in them, and still it's a problem, you have to cleanse them. Whereas, Rav Shem learns from the Pasuk of Nevela, has to be Ru'i Lager. But if it's pugam, if it imparts a deficient flavor onto the general mix, on the soup, it becomes mutter. We spoke about Rish Lakish, there's two girsas there, right? You know, if the thing is not fully prepared properly with enough seasoning, do we still consider it a pugam? Or do we say, no, if it would have been prepared properly, the vinegar would not have spoiled it, in which case it's not called Nezen Tam Lefgam. We have two gersas, and we pass on like the second gersa, which is lenient. We also discussed the chaymetz falling into grisim. Hot is paigim. Cold is mashbiach. And once it was mashbiach, even if he cooked it up and boiled it afterwards, it's too late, because it was already mutton. Actually, we're going to see tomorrow, this very case is subject to machlekes, the upcoming sugya. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.